Hello and welcome to the Lean and Agile Show. I'm your host, Shaheen. And today I have a dear guest, Dave White, with us. Dave, thank you being on the show and accepting my invitation.
Welcome. Thank you very much for inviting me.
I have met Dave in one of the community events, and this community event was made possible because of pandemic, so that we were having the virtual community events from all across Canada. And from that moment on, I followed Dave, and I told myself that Dave is a person that I need to bring on the show and everyone to hear his experience and his thoughts. So I wouldn't do the justice telling who Dave is. So I'm asking you, Dave, tell us who Dave is and anything that you want to highlight.
Well, Dave is, I mean, in the context of this particular podcast, Dave is a Kanban practitioner, an IT professional for 20 plus years. I remember there was a time I wanted to say, yeah, I've been in IT for 10 years. And now I don't want to tell people I've been in IT for any longer than I have been. But it has been at least 23 years now, I think. From a Kanban perspective, I guess, you know, I was the first AKT in Canada. So I did a masterclass with David Anderson in late 2011 and asked questions. And my company had questions at the time. And like, how do we teach this? And so I became one of the first AKTs in Canada and one of the first AKCs in Canada. So that's from a Kanban perspective, that's me.
Right. And tell us a little bit before the Kanban, like you said, 23 years of the professional, how you end up becoming, like looking to Kanban more, how you become interested.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess my career started as a developer in 1997. I worked for an oil and gas company here in Calgary. And we started this new project. And this new project was going to be different than any of the projects that we had been done at this big company. And so we saw this news about this agile thing. And we didn't really know a lot about it, but we knew that it meant like a little co-located teams and unit testing and no big upfront documents. I was like, yes, let's do that. So probably in 2000-ish, we started doing Agile just in our little pod. At one point, we were using NUnit 1.0, and we were working with James Newton. James Newton, is that right? I don't think that's right. We were working with the author of NUnit, and we were giving him ideas and bug testing it and eventually I got put on the NUnit 1.0 page as a participant or something like that. So it was kind of interesting that way. So that was my introduction to Agile from like a technical perspective, you know, in 2000, 2001. And then I became a consultant in early 2006. And because I had had a whole bunch of experience with agile teams and agile technical practices, I started participating in that and consulting perspective. And then they said, let's teach people how to unit test. And there's this new thing called Scrum and Certified Scrum Master. So let's get you to do that. So I took the Certified Scrum Master training in 2006 or 2007. And I was a really strong advocate for Scrum for a long time. And I'm a little bit biased. I'm an advocate for people who have started with Scrum. I might not start them there myself if there's nothing in place, but you know, people who are doing Scrum, they're doing good work, and it's not a bad place to be if that's where your problems are. Anyway, so I did that, right? Teaching TDD and BDD and teaching or learning Scrum and consulting for teams to do Scrum. I never became a certified Scrum trainer. That was a really difficult path to follow. So then in 2011, I changed to another firm, and they were like, we heard about this thing called Kanban. We want you to go figure that out. So that's when I went and took David Anderson's masterclass in Washington, D.C. And that was sort of when I got exposed to something that was going to eventually answer all of my problems that I had with other prescriptive agile methods,
right,
with Scrum and XP, and you know, they weren't, I don't know, they were very focused on software, which wasn't always the problem. They were very focused on teams and technical practices, which are often not the problems. So from 2011, I was really like, this can help companies. And so I have been doing and advocating for Kanban ever since.
I'm sure it's not going to be understandable or recognizable by us if you tell us what have you seen in that AKC that changed your mind. But can you give us a glimpse of it? What was the light that you saw there?
Well, one of the things that was, it's probably immediately relatable to a lot of people who listen or talk about Agile, is like Kanban doesn't estimate. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say, tell me what you think, and I'm going to write that down. And then we're going to hold you to it, which is not exactly what Scrum means, but that's how Scrum was implemented, right? Mm-hmm. So estimation and getting it out and saying, hey, let's look at what we did in the past and use that to predict what we might do in the future with a little bit more certainty than just asking people to pull a planning poker card out of a pile and say, hey, I think it's going to be an 8, which again, I think there's nothing wrong with planning poker, but it was just too easy for people to take that and convert it into ideal days or ideal hours or something like that. And Kanban was just like, we don't have that. So estimation for sure was something that really resonated with me. The other thing that really resonated with me was the fact that Kanban wanted to reach out to spread across the whole company, whereas Scrum, XP, various other things, they didn't. They wanted to protect and isolate the team, which isn't, you know, the teams at the time probably did need to be isolated and protected for managerial decisions. But at some point, you know, you've got a high functioning Scrum team and the company hasn't actually produced any meaningful company-wide benefit. So having a method that didn't want to isolate the team, but wanted to identify it amongst a group of teams that are all trying to do good things for the company, resonated with me. So those are the two things. It was it's a very inclusive methodology. It wants to include more and more of the organization, as it just by doing it in one spot, that one spot wants to know about the spots that it touches, no matter what they are, whether they're management or sales or another development team, it doesn't really care. So those are the two things I think that really, those are the two problems that we hadn't solved in our Scrum practice,
right,
that I felt that Kanban did have a really good chance of solving.
Nice. And you mentioned that the name of the program that you are the first one to be in Canada, one of them is AKC, which I think at that time that you graduated from or like took the class was KCP, right? And now KCP, you were, as I read your resume, you were the one that helping to develop that KCP. So tell us, what was the KCP before? What is AKC? How this KCP program is different? Like, there are lots of questions that I'm asking you in one question here.
That's all good. So Lean Kanban University, I was at the inaugural meeting, the meeting where we actually, you know, there was a bunch, I want to say 13 people who represented companies in Amsterdam in 2012, where Lean Kanban University, now called Kanban University, was formed. And in that consortium, I guess, or that membership, there was a desire to have, standardize is not the right word, but to start to develop standards, start to develop forms of certification. And it was one of the things that we really struggled with as a group and as a community, was like, well, what does certification mean? But one of the first certifications that could be done was the accredited Kanban trainer like, so people who had been vetted, who had seen the material or written material and demonstrated that they knew how to teach Kanban. So we could accredit Kanban trainers. So that was the AKTs. The other one was a little bit more difficult, and it was the Kanban coaching professional group or designation. And this was, again, vetted by your peers, where you were determined to be a coach of a certain level or a certain standard. So the Kanban coaching professional was someone who, if someone in the community said, hey, we need a good Kanban coach, who would Kanban University recommend? They would have said, oh, here's a list of KCPs. These are all coaches who have been vetted personally, in person, by the community and have been given this recognition. So that was what the KCP program was. And the AKC program is a rename. Everybody who was a KCP prior to the AKC program became AKC, accredited Kanban coach. The KCPs now, the Kanban coaching professional, there is now a middle layer. So as people learn Kanban and attend classes, they get certifications for learning and attendance. And then there's a middle layer where they start down the coaching journey. So they're not expected to have the breadth of experience or knowledge that perhaps an AKC is, but they have enough to be coaches within their organization. And so those people are now KCPs, which is a step after KMP, the Kanban Management Professional, which is the class-based certification. So you do some more and you do a little bit more intense training, and then you get the KCPs. And then there's still the AKCs, which are still peer-reviewed and vetted coaching professionals. So,
and I have heard that these AKC peer reviews are not that easy. Like you started by talking about the CST or coaching, like what is called certified Scrum trainer is not an easy path. I think AKC path is even harder in some cases that I've heard of.
Wow, so that's maybe a bit of a political. Politically sensitive question. The CSTs at the time were, you know, I don't know enough about it. I just got told that this is hard. If you don't know the right people, you won't get one. Right. Whereas that's certainly not true of the accredited Kanban coaching community. Anybody can become an AKC. It's just the group has a level, a standard of quality that just makes it a difficult thing. So you can't just take all of the Kanban training and then run up and say, hey, I want to be an AKC and become an AKC. Like, it's not a training-based certification. And people who have just done training probably won't demonstrate that they have the level of experience required. They won't be able to answer the hard questions. They won't really know the essence of the Kanban method and all of the things that have gone into it, the Kanban maturity model. They won't know all the nuances and the subtleties about that, and then how to apply it. They won't have demonstrated any ability to apply it. You know, one of the things that we said about the KCP program and then now the AKC program was someone at Kanban University may be asked to recommend you to a client. You know, people looking for Kanban coaching or Kanban training, one of the places they'll find is Kanban University. And so they'll say, hey, Kanban University, who should we get it to come in? So the KCPs at the time and now the AKCs were like, well, who would Kanban University recommend? Mm-hmm. Who would they feel comfortable putting in place? And everybody in this community was responsible to make sure that the standard was maintained so that all of us could recommend each other if required. Mm-hmm. So that's where it was. It is certainly not an exclusive group, and there's no intention to make it exclusive. It just had a high standard for quality.
And I'm curious, you mentioned that there were 13 people at the start. Do you remember all those 13 people or like a couple of them?
So yes, I'm still friends with a number of them. I have the letter. I don't remember where it is. I took a picture of it, of the draft that had all of the companies and the attendees. So like Klaus Leopold for sure, and Katrina were both there. Patrick Steyert was there. Matthias Skaren was still there. Obviously David and Janice were there. There were only, I want to say, two North Americans. There was myself and Massa K. Maida. Who was a South American, I believe. South American, represented South America. Jesper Bogue. So yeah, you're making me reach way back.
Yeah.
There was a bunch, like for sure, like if I see Klaus or Matthias or Patrick at a Kanban conference or at one of our leadership retreats, for sure I would sit down and have a beer with them and talk about old times.
Right. And this was the start of the Kanban or Lean Kanban University at that time? Or was it the start?
That was where it started.
Yeah.
It didn't exist prior to that. Everybody had been asking David Anderson and Janet to create something. We needed something more than a book. Right. We needed something more than David Anderson's master classes.
Right.
So we up until that time, we were all, you know, graduates or attendees of David Anderson's master class.
Right.
And we were all attendees of conferences, the Lean Kanban or Lean
LKU's Lean Kanban University.
No, it was LSCC Lean Software Society. I forget now. Right. There was before the Kanban University or Lean Kanban University, there was a there were conferences that were put on by David Anderson in this Lean software development community. So
nice. So I want to switch gear on asking questions on consulting, and this is a perfect time to ask that. People are becoming KMPs, KCPs, AKCs, right? But in the real world, right? From a person that you said from 2011, if I remember correctly, you're actually practicing Kanban, right? It's 10 years now. So what are the horror stories as a consultant? Or what are the turning points that you can share with us as a consultant that you have seen that other people that are consulting as a Kanban coach or a Kanban consultant should be aware of?
Good question. And, you know, I have been a consultant professionally, you know, a hired gun, whatever you want to call us, for 15 years now. So in 2006 is when I joined a consulting firm here in Calgary. And I was employed by them, but I was sourced to various companies that needed help. So I guess, you know, the horror stories that I've mostly dodged them myself because I knew not to overpromise, which is what I see a lot of people do when they get into Kanban for the beginning. Or they hear the buzzwords about Kanban. It's like, oh, Kanban solves all the problems. And that's really not true. Kanban doesn't solve any of the problems. It just gives all of us different tools to solve our own problems, you know, more holistic tools to solve our own problems. So, you know, the horror stories I've dealt with have been, luckily for me, from a Kanban perspective, just helping clean up that misjudgment on someone's part. Oh, they told us Kanban would do this, and if we do Kanban, we don't have to have stand-up meetings, or we don't have to plan, or we don't have to do this. I'm like, that is not true at all. Right? Kanban is not about, you know, ending the tyranny of the sprint, which is something that, you know, that 2-week sprint or that 1-month sprint or whatever you use, it's a good training wheels, but at some point it becomes a barrier to progression in people's organizations. So I mean, most of my horror stories have been, you know, someone being promised something from Kanban and it didn't actually work. Mm-hmm. It didn't do what the person had promised. And they say, "Oh, hey, can you help us do Kanban right?" And I'm like, "Okay, well, let's figure out what Kanban means to you. Let's figure out that we all understand what it's supposed to do. And then we'll start from there and see where you're at." Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's probably been the thing that I've had to deal with the most from a horror story perspective. Right. Also, you know, it's all about people just, yeah, all my horror stories have been people misunderstanding Kanban, misunderstanding how to apply it, applying it incorrectly, making bad promises, and then it doesn't work out. So then I have to help them solve that problem.
And I'm assuming that it's not easy going as a second consultant or the going there and trying to fix all those, right? Because they already has been promises already there, right? So it's going to be a hard conversation, hard battle, depending on your perspective. How do you want to look at it, right?
That's one of the things that's really, you know, I think it's something that's really underappreciated about Kanban method. The Kanban method and good practitioners is like they don't actually come in with it. They know that there's a hard problem to solve. There's always hard problems to solve. But if you come in confident that what you have been taught, what you teach, what you believe in actually is the long-term solution, and you don't make any short-term promises, I find it's easier for me. I don't get flustered when I have a difficult problem to try to solve at a client. I make sure that we all understand what we're trying to achieve. What are the outcomes that we want? I don't make false promises. I don't need a job where I have to make a false promise and just to get the job. It's not good for my business as a consultant, as an independent consultant, to make promises and to let people down, because eventually I'll leave a string of people who have all been disappointed with my activities if I take that route. So I'm just upfront at the beginning. It's like, look, this is how long it's going to take. This is what you're going to have to do. And yes, there's people who have said, okay, that's not for us. And they're probably still struggling. I don't know. I just move on. Find the next company that actually does understand that this is a people problem, that it's going to take time to fix. There are no quick fixes in any company. You know, Kanban is just a way to see your problems, describe solutions, put them in place so that everybody understands, and to bring all of your people together to solve these problems. And you know, otherwise there's no quick fixes. I'm not going to go in there and design somebody's company, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to come in and say, "Hey, let me install Kanban." Any Kanban consultant who comes up to you says, "I'm going to install Kanban," you should just go running, because mm-hmm. I'll be the one who comes in afterwards and says, "I'm not installing Kanban. I can't fix your company, but I can help you learn how to fix it yourself." Mm-hmm. So
I had one conversation with one of the AKTs, I believe almost a year ago in November. And we were talking about what kind of problems Kanban cannot solve. And I think you're answering that question in a different way, that it's not like Kanban is for solving hard problems, and it's going to show you where your problems are, right? And going to highlight that, right? So not necessarily it's going to solve your problems. And then at the end of the conversation, we get to the point that, we don't find any specifics of what problem it cannot solve. So we can we say that Kanban solves everything? And then we stop the conversation. That's a very big claim to make, that Kanban can solve everything, but it certainly can help with everything, every problem that you have.
Kanban the problem that Kanban solves is, where are your problems? How do I communicate to the community and or my organization what the problem is? How do we come to a consensus? How do you bring 10 people in a room to consensus that this is the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what Kanban does. It brings us, it visualizes our problems. It brings us together in a place where we have to build consensus to experiment, to try, and then try. And if it works, we can celebrate. But then there's another problem after that. So how do we do the next problem? And there's a next problem. And the world around us is changing all the time. So how do you continuously adapt? How do you continuously understand where the problem today is? You know, Kanban is not going to tell you, Kanban is not going to get your releases out. I can't install it mm-hmm. and get your releases out tomorrow in 2 weeks. It doesn't have any opinions about continuous integration or continuous development. Other than it tells us that automation is good. Any place where we can eliminate sources of delay, which is work sitting around or work being done that's repetitive and easy to reproduce from a mechanical perspective, we should do that. You know, so, you know, it's unfortunate that an AKT would say that Kanban, well, it's unfortunate that AKT would say that Kanban doesn't solve all the problems, or it doesn't solve some kinds of problems, which means that they think that it was supposed to solve those problems in the first place. You know, it doesn't talk about quality, like how do I build quality of the software, or how do I automate my development pipelines, or how do I do that? It doesn't teach that. It's not intended to teach that. It's just intended to say, hey, where is work sitting around waiting? Where is work taking a long time to be done? And how do I bring people together to experiment with making that delay go away?
Mm-hmm.
Right? How do I make sure that we're, how do I bring people together to coordinate and make better decisions? You know, and so, I mean, I haven't, from a management perspective, I haven't seen examples that are better, because all of the specific methods that I've seen, Scrum, Safe, XP, they all run into a barrier where their guidance on how to do it runs out of, there's nothing in the guidance. Mm-hmm. How do I do this? Well, I don't know. How do I do it in my company, with my people, with the people who I have in their experience level in my organization today? It doesn't teach you that, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas Kanban doesn't assume that anybody knows how, any one person knows how to solve this, or any one person can architect that solution. And so, you know, I'm sure I'm dancing around this from a philosophical perspective, but you have to understand what problems Kanban is trying to solve before you start saying that it didn't solve this one or didn't solve that one.
Mm. So. And what I wanted to mention at the earlier in our conversation, when we were talking about solving problems with Kanban, was that the focus, or when we are talking about focusing on a high-performing team or similar thing that you mentioned around it, is that Kanban doesn't focus on building that specific team. Is looking at the work rather than workers, right? So by looking at that work, and then you can easily bring consensus. Not easily, right? But compared to other tools or techniques or frameworks, whatever we want to call them, right? It's easier to look at the work and look at how the flow of the work is compared. But just having that in mind, I'm emphasizing that a lot when I'm consulting and when I am teaching as well. And I find that very powerful at the start. Like, and this was, I always tell other people that this was a great advice. And I think you kind of hint to that, but Alexey Zhegloff, I did my KMP with him. And between the first and second one, his advice was, don't do it back to back. Like, let it sit, let it practice, come back with experience and ask questions so that you can get deeper into. And that was an amazing journey that I had. Like, but just And by practicing those things, you figure out, okay, what are these things? How do I focus on the work versus workers? Like, and I was similar to you. I started as a Scrum Master. I did that training. I become a CSP, like blah, blah. And then I found out that there are some certain areas that we cannot move further, right? And then I was looking for an alternative. And this was, that was one of the eye openings for me. Still, I'm learning. Still, I'm trying to focus on work rather than workers. But the fact that I'm talking about it, it shows how much effect it had on me. And it's not easy. It's not easy to, because it's easier to blame a person, like do faster or blame a team. Like, why aren't you guys delivering on time? You said so, right? So you said it's 8 points, right? Or whatever days, right? But when you're looking at the bigger picture, that's what brings value, if I have to say.
It's one of the things that's really powerful. And it's about the Kanban method, is it just saying that focus on the work. You can control the work. You can't always control the workers. You can't control the skill level of the people. You can't control their motivation. Yes, you want to hire to have, you know, as skilled or as experienced or as positive people as you can, but that's not us every day. Every day, we're a little bit different. You know, we're sad or we're happy or, you know, we're tired or we're energized, and, you know, the variation that can come from those things, and they don't necessarily come one day at a time. It might become like, oh, I've been exhausted for 5 days, or I've been super energized for 5 days. And then now I've made everybody look bad around me, or everybody thinks that this is what I'm going to do for the rest of the week, right? When you focus on people and the solution is from people, and this is one of the challenges that I have with building hyper teams or hyper performant teams, is like, it's still people. I like to think that I'm a very performant person when I'm working. I still work as a software developer. I still do a lot of work in DevOps, in enterprise architectures, message-based stuff. I still work in that every day. And it would be to have a team of me, 10 me's all around, and anybody can go off and do any part of the solution that needs to be done, right? You need to do the DevOps piece. Okay, you go do it. You need to do the architecture part. You need to go coding in C#, or you know, to go build the UI and React in TypeScript. Go do that, anybody. But that's not the real world. There are no teams. Mm-hmm. There are teams. I'm sure that someone will tell me when they listen to the podcast later. Yeah, we have a team like that. I'm like, yeah, that's a really rare team. If you've done any amount of consulting and you go around helping companies, you realize that that's not how everybody's team is. And that's not how the skill level that's available out there. And should it be? Yeah, that'd be great. But that's not the answer that we should be giving our customers, saying, hey, how do we get better? Oh, you just stack your team. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't stack your team, because everybody wants to stack their team and they're going to poach your players no matter what. So, you know, we have to do better about doing what our company can do effectively, efficiently. You know, if you've got someone who on a different team is really good with DevOps and you can ask them for help in work, say, here, we're going to hand this work to you. Can you please do the DevOps piece? And we care. We want to see when it comes back. We want to know how you're doing. Here's the UI piece. Okay, send the UI piece off to a different team, the infrastructure piece off to a different team, right? It's really hard to find a team that has all those skills at a level to build high quality enterprise software. Mm-hmm. Most organizations do have those skills. They're just not always available in the abundance that we need to build 10 teams that all have these skill sets. So manage the work. Share it around, find the expertise, find the solutions, but deliver software a little bit quicker. And the other thing about software development, it's not only software, it's not only coding, it's not infrastructure, it's not architecture, it's training, it's sales, it's business analysis. What do the customers want? Right? There's always, there's finance. How do we hire people? HR is involved with companies building good software, because they have to find quality people in a timely fashion so that we can get our project done, right? There's so much that goes on in a business that isn't covered by Scrum or XP, or, and again, I'm not picking on those things. They're just limited.
Right.
When your problem is bigger than the team, and Kanban can help all of them. How do we make our HR department more efficient? Because hiring is hard and it is time consuming. How do we make our sales organization more capable of doing sales, but also not piling a ton of work on the development teams, making promises that various other parts of the organization just can't keep or aren't able to keep, right? How do we do all these other parts that are not software development? Well, Kanban speaks the same language. We can speak the language about managing work, doing it better, doing it more effectively across the whole course of delivering something to our customers at the end of the day. So that's where, yeah, just let's manage work and not people.
A high-performing system we are going to get out of that.
A high-performing organization, for sure. System, the whole organization, absolutely. It is about companies. Yeah. You know, it's certainly nice to be on a high-performing team.
Yeah.
You know, I've been on a couple in my experience, in my employed history, and it's fun. Like when you're all just flowing and you get to work and you like all the skills, like there's no delay in doing anything. Hey, you need to fix the UI, either do it yourself or you talk to the person who's beside you on your team who knows how to do it well, right? Talking DevOps, talking CI/CD, talking just coding backend stuff, right? Infrastructure, dev, Kubernetes and containerization, all that stuff. If all those skills are present on your team, it's fun. Because you just, everything, all the problems that teams get stop them from building the customer experience that they want to give back in software, they're all gone. But it doesn't mean that the project will necessarily be successful, because if the requirements didn't come properly, or we can't deliver it with appropriate training, or sales doesn't know how to sell it, there's lots of things, or sales oversells it, overpromises, like it's still going to be a challenge for the organization.
So Dave, we talked a lot about Kanban, what's around it, like sometime deep, sometime on the surface, but you have lots of experience in Kanban. So I have done lots of consulting gigs, and not lots of, but various consulting gigs. And one of the best interview question that they asked me was, how do you describe Agile to a 4-year-old kid? So I'm just going to ask you, how do you describe a Kanban to a 4-year-old or to a young one? Like,
that's a hard question. How do I describe Kanban to a 4-year-old? I don't know. That's a really hard question. I never had to describe it to a 4-year-old. Obviously, I've taught my children Kanban. So when the pandemic hit and all my kids were put into at home school, they struggled. They struggled, and I didn't know about it right away because I didn't see their work. I didn't see what they were being asked to do. And so then we said, okay, we're going to do Kanban. So I just actually created a Trello board, gave them access to Trello board. And I said, I want to see all your work assignments here so that I can help you when they get stuck. And so if I was going to teach it to a child, it's like, basically, I just want to be able to see what you're trying to do, what you've been asked to do, what you're trying to do. And if something gets stuck or there gets to be a big pile somewhere, I want to be able to help you. And so that's the simplest way of saying Kanban, I think. I want to see what you're doing so that I can help you get it finished. It is really, it's a lot more, it's a lot, the 30 second and the 5-minute, the half hour conversations about what Kanban can fully do.
That was a very good summary, if I may say.
Yeah. I just came up with that. So I just never been asked that question before.
So we are coming to an end. I have one question for you to ask for the people that want to start with Kanban, because I think it was Hugh that he tweeted maybe 2-3 years ago that Kanban is like an ocean, and as farther that you go deep into that ocean, you learn more about it. So you can get your feet wet with the like at the beach, and then try more and get more experience at consulting and coaching with Kanban. So for the people that want to start with Kanban, what are your advice or what are your suggestions?
So if you want to get started with Kanban, this is me a little bit biased in that I think that just know that Kanban University exists, and it's an organization that cares about the quality of its content and about the message. And there are a lot of Kanban companies out there that they have their own spin on Kanban. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not going to go explore them, and I've seen bad ones. So I would say that Kanban University is a good place to go for content. If you just keeping that in mind, then there's a book, Kanban from the Inside by Mike Burrows. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to start. At one point in time, David Anderson's book, Kanban, was the place to start from a book perspective. I think Mike said that before. Mike's book actually took what we learned between when David wrote his book and when Mike wrote his book and made Kanban easy to approach, made it easier to read. So I would definitely start with Kanban from the Inside. I would also make sure, you know, before you read a book or before you go digging around in blog posts or whatever, understand what your problem is. Right, Kanban can we apply Kanban everywhere? Yes, I believe that. But you need to have that idea of what is my problem in your head before any of this content makes sense. You know, so you can read, I think you need Mike's book, and you can find your problems. But if you find your problem and then read Mike's book, it's going to be more valuable. So after Kanban as a source, as a place where you can find generally good Kanban content, Mike's book is definitely a great place to start. Then, you know, if you can, and if you think that Kanban is a problem, I would try to attend one of our conferences. That's one of the things that the pandemic has taken away from us, which I'm really excited to get back to. But the conferences are where our community meets, and it's really diverse. You know, there's diverse companies, there's diverse people, there's diverse ideas. It's not all, you know, just Kanban University propaganda. It's actually Kanban practitioners telling people their stories. And every Kanban implementation is different, but some of them are kind of like other ones. So the more stories that you hear, the more you're likely to hear something that might work for you. That's not going to be an A book or an A blog post. So that's where three places where I would try to start.
Right. And if I'm correct, please correct me if I'm wrong, but this year has been postponed, 2021, but the next year is the conference is happening, and it's in San Diego.
Right. It is in San Diego. It was supposed to be in San Diego last year, and it got canceled by COVID, the pandemic, and it is back. And they have said they're going forward. And so all of you, maybe this sounds bad, but go get vaccinated so you can travel. Go be safe, but plan to be in San Diego in, I think it's May. Maybe it's March.
It's March, I believe.
Yeah, it's March. And I will, I was going to go last year. I've already signed up for this year. So I will be going there and touching base with our community. And the good thing about it now is it's Kanban week. So there's the 3-day conference that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But then if you're a Kanban practitioner or it's not a place for novices. It's not a people for people who are not practicing Kanban. But if you are practicing Kanban, the leadership retreat that's in the 2 days following mm-hmm. is a fantastic experience to really get integrated into the coaching community that does Kanban for its livelihood.
You don't have to be any specific designation to attend the leadership retreat. You call leadership retreat, but you can register for that.
So I don't 100% know. It used to be, so the leadership retreat originally was for graduates of the masterclass. Mm-hmm. And there were some people who were in the community, had been in the community for a long time, but had never taken a masterclass that would eventually show up or sometimes show up. But it was basically, you know, tenured or graduates of the masterclass who were at the leadership retreat. It did open up at some point where it became, you know, I think AKTs could come, or if you had, you know, if I was a Kanban coach at a particular client and they needed to see something or experience something, that you could invite them okay. and sort of bring them along. I don't, with Kanban week, I would be, it sounds like it's kind of like opened up to everybody. Mm-hmm. But it is like the Kanban Leadership Retreat is a really, it's a deep dive into Kanban University and the Kanban method and how do we do it and how do we extend it? How does it grow this year? What does the community need? What do we need to do with the method itself or with our practices? I suspect that there'll be a lot of talk about the Kanban maturity model at this one because we haven't really had a chance to talk about it. Right. In a community setting. So it is a deep dive into Kanban, which, you know, I think that our community is very inclusive, but we also are very pragmatic. It's like, okay, you're going to be here and you're going to be, you know, not knowing what we're talking about or out of your depth potentially, but you'll get a lot of really good networking too. So if you do want to show up and hang out with all of us, it's fun. I think all conferences are fun, but,
And one thing that I have to mention about the Kanban community or the Kanban conferences, as you mentioned, is inclusive. So I found lots of sessions recorded from previous conferences online. They're available. So it's not like they want to keep it to themselves. They publish Kanban University, publish them online, and you can watch for yourself the previous years if you want to. Obviously, you are going to get the most value if you attend the live one and see people and network with them. And one thing that I have to mention that at the start, I might have said that felt like the AKC or getting through this program is very hard. But again, the community is, I have heard lots of good stories that the community of AKCs and AKTs come together and help the fellow that wanted to get through that experience and become an AKC. So if you have gone through that one and have relaxed something, there is a good help around the community that I've heard of. I haven't taken the AKC, but I've heard two instances that the other AKCs have come to help to elevate that person to become an AKC. So that's a very good point about the Kanban community. I felt that myself through that, and I have heard, I'm hoping to be there for the conference as well. It's going to be my first one. But I have learned a lot from the videos. So if you guys, they're there, at some point they were on Vimeo, and now I think it's on YouTube. So I'm going to post a YouTube channel for Kanban University so you guys can, the listeners can follow that one.
Yeah, I do have, I was at LK UK in 2013. So that's my one video for attending a Kanban University conference. I was able to go to Europe and present a session there. And, you know, there's a lot of effort that goes into them, and people attending is how they get paid for. There's a lot more to the conferences, sure, than just the videos and just the sessions. And there's usually a lot more sessions than any one person can attend. So if you want all the content, you're going to have to eventually watch all these YouTube videos. And it wants people from all over the place. We recognize that all of our alums are in different industries, in different companies, in geographies, in different ethnicities. They're all very diverse. And so we try to get people from all over those various diversities bring. What did you do? That's basically all the things, but just what did you do and how did it work?
Right.
But because we're all speaking the language of Kanban, it all makes sense to us. Right. And that's one of the things that Kanban does. It provides that US language that all of us, generally speaking, understand one way or another. And you know, we do want to talk about it. We're kind of nerdy that way. We love to talk Kanban when Kanban people are around. So if you have a Kanban problem and you can talk to us in our language, just come on. If you can't, that's fine. We'll try to teach you our language. But and about, you know, the AKC, like one of the things that, and it's unfortunate that you got this idea that AKC was hard and, or, you know, maybe not just hard, but hard and discouragingly hard. But you know, if anybody at KC, don't hesitate, like reach out to me, I don't mind, you know. And I know that there's a whole bunch of AKC Canadian AKCs. I can't speak for all AKCs. I know that we're all human beings and we're all slightly different in personalities, but you know, I was the director of AKCP. My goal was to grow the KCP program to get more of them, and it was always to me about not lowering the barrier of quality, but making sure that people knew what was expected, how to get in, and give them all the support that they need to get in. Because if someone wants to get AKC, that's the person that we want to make sure actually gets there. Yes, they have to get to a certain level of experience or demonstrable quality in understanding the Kanban method. But you know, all of us, generally speaking, have all been about helping. You know, the AKC program, the KCP program was all a volunteer program. It was all other KCPs or AKCs that wanted to participate and grow the program. So anybody who's listening, if you want to become an AKC, just, I'm sure my Twitter handle will be on here, or my email will be on here eventually. So send me a call and I'll try to do my best to help you.
And that's a good segue to asking you the question, how can people get in touch with you? So you have a Twitter handle, you have an email.
Yeah, so the easiest way to get a hold of me would probably be at Twitter at Agile Ramblings. And if you want to get a hold of me via email, it's dave@depthconsulting.ca. So, and I hopefully those links will be attached here to the, to the podcast. But yeah, or just get directly hold of Shahin here and he'll get you in touch with me. Sure. And also, you know, don't hesitate to reach out to the, you know, Kanban University on Twitter. There's a lot of really good Kanban practitioners. If you reach out to me and you're not in a geography or in a time zone that's easy for me, or I'm busy, I'm certainly going to, I have lots of friends, lots of peers, lots of people who I really respect and who I know this, that can help you. So we're not hard to find. And we do, you know, I think one of the things that's hard to appreciate in all the material is that the Kanban method was created, I think, to make life better for people. That's why David did it. That's why Mike did some of his work, right? Like all of us are trying to find a more humane way to work. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, all of us who are really deeply involved in the Kanban community, we're all trying to make our work lives better. And true. You know, help other people learn how to make their work lives better and be involved with our community. So
thank you, Dave. Is there anything else that we wanted to talk about and I forgot to ask you? Do you have anything else to add for the end of the podcast?
I think so. I think we covered everything that I would really, really want to talk about. It's hard for me to, I can talk about all kinds of things, but I don't know what people actually want to listen to. And usually, like if I have a burning problem, you know, I could say managers treat your people better. I could say to managers, or to say to business people, like figure out how to do your work better, right? Figure out what's slowing you down. But those are super long topics in themselves. So maybe that's it. Just my call to action, you know, managers or owners or directors, whatever, you have a probably have a group of really good people who are being held back by process inertia, by just not knowing how to make better decisions, not knowing that there is a better way and not knowing how to find the better way. So go find a better way. You know, there is a ton of work for all of us to do. Tons. Mm-hmm. There is like, there's no end of work. So let's get as much, let's start to get through that pile a little bit faster, a little bit more humanely, and let people have their weekends and their evenings, but still deliver high quality product, whatever it is. So there's software or legal advice or healthcare, like product, like physical product, whatever it is. Like there's lots of ways for us to get better at doing that. So my call to action, I guess.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate a lot having you on the show. And maybe we have another podcast episode in a couple of months around that.
Sure, I would love to. It'd be fantastic. Thank you very much, Dave.
I appreciate it. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.